Welcome to episode 5 of It Takes a Village, a podcast for college-bound families by Olin College of Engineering's Admission and Financial Aid team. My name is Dan.
And I'm Alia.
One of the goals of this podcast is to help bridge the gap between admission counselors' expertise and insight into the college-going process and families' lived experiences of that process. We found that there can be many mutual misconceptions.
So today, we decided to speak with parents of current Olin students to learn more about their perspective, what their role was in their child's college journey, and what admission teams might not understand about how students and their families approach this process. After all, these parents have known their students a lot longer than we have.
We're excited to welcome Maureen, parent of Simon, Olin class of 2023, and Tim, parent of Grant, Olin class of 2024.
So Maureen, we'll start with you for this first question. Can you talk to us about your child and your family's journey through the college search?
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'll start with the greatest hope. So when we started the process, our hope as parents was to get Simon in a school that was a good fit. We knew that he had really major strengths, but we also knew he had dyslexia that impacted his standardized test scores. So we were concerned about, as he described it, meat grinder schools, where it's all about how much more can you work, how much harder can you work, primarily doing testing and quizzes. And so we were concerned about what would happen to him in a situation like that, which is the case in a lot of engineering schools. Our greatest fear was that if he did get into a school that was a bad fit, that we didn't know what would happen at that point, given the learning disability. So that was the starting point for us, was how to find a good fit. In terms of looking for schools, He looked far and wide. I did some of the research for him. I think I was the first one who found Olin. And we did a lot of slow learning over his high school years, where we would go and look at schools when we were on vacation, for example. We looked in Montreal. We looked in Vermont, where my family is from. Then as it got closer, then we started to get more serious about actually targeting schools. Because we weren't sure where Simon was going to land on the test scores, we had not really played the college admissions game. We hadn't looked at how many boxes did he check? Was he part of a statewide or a nationally competitive team? The answer was no. Did he have 3 or 4 or 8 AP classes going into his junior year? The answer was no. He went to a very small school that didn't offer many AP classes. And so we really didn't start thinking about that until getting close to his senior year, once he had received some accommodations based on 12 years of documentation of a disability. And suddenly his score was well within range for the more competitive schools like Olin. And at that point, we looked at just a lot of different ones along the East Coast. We looked at some state schools. We looked in quite a few in California. We are Utah based. So that was how we launched our process. And once we did the tour at Olin that you, Alia, did such a great job at providing us, Simon whispered to me halfway through your presentation, "This is where I have to go." So as of August of before his senior year, that was his plan for college.
Tim, what about your family's journey? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity to be here and happy to share, because I think like every family, it truly is a journey. And if you haven't discovered that, you will. For most students. So Grant is the second of our four children, And being 2 years younger than his sister, he was first exposed to the college search process through her journey. So he got to kind of hang out in the back seat, visiting colleges without any pressure. Also got to see the amount of work required to research and apply to schools, and ultimately observing how difficult it was to be accepted. So we were fortunate to be able to visit many schools to help him get a sense of their community, which was important to get beyond the name recognition and ranking and other things that people tend to focus on within their peer group. So for Grant, he was focused on a STEM-based education and pursuing a degree in engineering. He had learned early on that he thrives best in an engaged learning environment and working with his hands. And these were important factors beyond a school's size and geographic location. So a defining moment for Grant's interest in Oland is when he entered the library. Now, the school didn't highlight the number or prestige of its collection, and Grant's a voracious reader. But for him, seeing all the power tools, sewing machines, 3D printers, and the tools to make almost anything right there in the library and freely available was really compelling. Plus, he also enjoyed seeing the massive dorm common room closet stocked with Nerf guns, showing how the serious work and serious play were readily available. So as parents, our hope for Grant was for him to find the proverbial his people, who he would engage well and deeply, both inside and outside the classroom. And Grant was lucky to be able to have an overnight visit with a current student, which really helped him to confirm Oland as his number one choice. Without that available, just kind of using an opportunity to talk with students about their experience and questions is valuable. And I know that as parents, and always found the Oland blog very helpful because they had a lot of very personal narratives to help bring the school personality to light.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm laughing about the Nerf guns because I think that's very, very real for some of our students. Yeah, I think that's so important because I mean, you know, me and Dan were admission counselors. We can talk a lot about the school to students and families and be as helpful as we can, but they need to experience some sense of the community and the student life firsthand, whether that be, you know, on a tour in person or whether that be virtually, because they do need to ask that question, you know, can I see myself here? Are these my people? Because, you know, I'm a nice person. Maybe they like me, maybe they don't, but it's not me ultimately they're going to be going to class with and working on projects with. So I think that's a huge component of it. So thank you.
All right. We'll move on to our next question here. And that has to do with your role. So obviously as parents, you wear many different hats. You have played many different roles in your family and in your child's life. How did you figure out what your role was in this college search process? Tim, we'll go ahead and we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I feel so for high school students because they have this tremendous weight by the college search process that can enable some to tackle it proactively while others may feel more paralyzed by the process because there's not really clear goals. You know, we have to apply, but there's so much there. So as parents, I think we serve our children best by being a safe sounding board and asking questions because in the end, they're the one that's going to go to college. Now, it really depends on your student where they kind of fit on how they embrace this process. And so I think there are many factors to help each family determine whether the student is going to be the driver or the passenger in the process. And this may also mirror how a parent supports their student in high school, because everyone kind of matures and does this at different times. So I think one difference is the student is used to knowing what the classroom deadlines are, yet for college, really the only deadline is the application, but there are so many different pieces in this holistic process that we kind of encourage Grant to consider this as an additional class. Kind of hard without a teacher, but to kind of say there is a lot there. I think the other part in understanding the roles in the process is when a student goes to college, parents and students need an honest understanding of the cost implications of it. So I think when applying to colleges, you know, we all knew the challenging acceptance statistics and the Naviance scattergram charts, and encourage Grant to follow the advice of applying to a balanced mix of schools. So he applied to a wide range of engineering schools, early action when possible, So this included well-known large universities, project-oriented ones, and small undergraduate-focused college. I think as we think about the process, you know, like for Grant, you know, he wrote his Olin essay independently. I didn't review it, relegated to, here's my credit card for the application fee when he submitted it. And I will add, as a parent, it was not easy for me to relinquish my ability to help Grant through this. So I think being interested in STEM, Grant understood the admission statistics and celebrate where he was accepted and holding with open hands the school he waited to hear from, because it is a nerve-wracking process. And I think for schools such as Olin, you know, the odds are not in the student's favor and the balanced application approach is recommended. And I think, you know, for a role in the process, the student is still gonna be, you know, our son. And we're going to love him no matter where he gets into or doesn't get into. And so I think kind of being there and maintaining the relationship through the process is important.
Yeah, definitely. I think that you brought up so many great points. And especially at the end there, you know, just making sure that it doesn't matter what school they go to, that you are you're there to support them. So that's really great. And I think really useful for a lot of parents. Maureen, how about you? How did you figure out what your role was in this process?
A lot of the same factors that Tim mentioned with respect to starting out by asking Simon questions all the way through the process, from at the very beginning when we started, all the way through as he narrowed down the schools that he ultimately applied to. So, we're maybe a little unusual in that Simon really likes to talk things through with us. I think one of the factors of having a disability, or it can be, is that he is more introspective, and he does recognize that that we can have a role in helping him to move through the process, given some of the challenges he has. So in that sense, we asked him to think about geography, costs, hands-on learning versus book learning. He's absolutely a hands-on learning type of a student, team-based versus individual. That was something that really drew him to Olin. So we asked all of those questions. Like Tim, we also encouraged him to consider lots of options. He did apply early admission to one state school that he decided was going to be his backup if he needed it. He applied to a handful of private schools as well, in addition to Olin. With Olin specifically, because he had his heart set on it right from the beginning, we also tried to make sure that he kept it, his expectations, realistic. And he does understand numbers, and he did understand what the chances were of actually getting in. And so we made sure that we put that in the context of where else should he consider applying for. And so that's really most of the involvement that we had.
Yeah, I think that the point you make about kind of managing their expectations is a major thing, because you're trying to support them and really let them know that they can do anything. You know, you really have to believe in yourself, but also understand what happens afterwards and what happens if you don't get into that school, your dream school. So I think that's definitely a really important piece as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I mean, we have a role in counseling the students, but our relationship with them is really in the sense of, you know, you're applying to our specific college, and that's just one of many intersecting processes you're a part of. So the parent kind of has that role in managing not just, okay, you're applying to Olin, you're applying to these other schools, but you're also thinking about, you know, balancing that list and keeping expectations realistic. Yeah, there's a lot of different hats that you wear, and we thank you for that. All right, so for our next question, I want to ask about something that, you know, we hear from families a lot. So we understand that, you know, students have instincts that are really valuable, right? And as Tim mentioned, they're the one that's going to go to that school. So it really is up to them. But sometimes those instincts that students have don't always make sense from our perspective right away. I'd be curious to hear about, you know, how did that manifest in your child's process? And how did you handle that or kind of work through that or process that with them to understand more about kind of what was important to them?
So Simon did have very strong preferences as we worked through the process. And a lot of the items that you talked about are things that we did have to deal with. So first of all, he did apply early admissions to a very large school and really liked it right off the bat. Even though it was a very large school, it's highly rated for innovation, and he appreciated that. And it also has an outstanding honors college. So those were some of the factors that made him, that drew him to that school, even though it seemed like the antithesis of an Olin education. I think one of the other factors is I happen to have a lot of friends in the area of that school, and they talked about making him cookies and taking him out to dinner if he got in there. And that may have had a little bit of influence. We also toured a number of private engineering schools on the East Coast, and I was quite surprised at his immediate negative reaction to several of them. We almost as soon as we set foot on campus, he would say, I don't picture myself here. I don't think I would fit in here. So he definitely went with his gut for some of those. In terms of my role as a parent in addressing that, because he had other options that he was interested in that met the criteria of having a balanced portfolio of schools that he was interested in, I certainly didn't push it. And honestly, even if there was one that I thought was the best one for him and he chose not to apply, he would have chose not to apply, whatever I thought. So that was how we, that was primarily the role that we played in this. And I think he did a pretty nice job, even largely being driven by gut feelings, in addition to analysis, in selecting the schools that he ultimately applied for.
All right, Tim. Yeah, so same question for you.
Yeah, I think that the process is fascinating. And I think for Grant, we learned important lessons through our daughter. So I think one quick story there is she got accepted to school that was like a 6-hour drive away for admittance weekend. And I wasn't quite sure, but this is a chance for, I think, a lot of students go visit and kind of get a feel for the school. So we're planning on spending 2 days at the school, drive 6 hours. We walk on campus, and within about 30 minutes, she's like, time to go home. And we're like, I'm sorry. I don't see myself here. Sure enough, we'll cancel the hotel reservation. We'll get back in the car, and better to know this now before writing a check. So that kind of, you know, informed some of our process with Grant.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So this is something I always like to ask families, because this is just something that we have no insight into. Were there any factors that played into your child's college search that we as admission counselors just wouldn't be aware of at all? Something that's, you know, so specific to your student or your family that it wouldn't even sort of be on our radar when we think of the traditional aspects of what makes up fit, you know, the size of the school, the location, the learning style. And we'll start with Tim for this one.
Yeah, definitely. There's always those intangible factors. So, our family loves ice cream. So whenever we go visit, it was always important to us to try whatever the best ice cream was in that town. We would evaluate it. You know, some would be the Ben and Jerry's scoop shop. So we kind of got to evaluate, you know, how some of those played out. And some were like the local ones using the local cows in their ice cream. So ice cream was important. I think other factors that were important that we like is like outdoor space. So like one of the things that for Olin, being in a suburban environment, has adjacent area where I know Grant being there now, he's out there exploring with his friends and doing different projects out there. So kind of for all the time that you spend inside and academically focused, just getting out in the fresh air and in nature, and it's actually incorporated in some of the classes, was very compelling.
What about for you and your family, Maureen?
Well, we also have an ice cream thing. I grew up in Vermont. I used to go to the original Ben and Jerry's when I was in school at UVM. So ice cream is important. And J.P. Henry's, I think, is the one that's local. And Simon really enjoys going there.
Oh, J.P. Licks, they're so good.
Oh, J.P. Licks, that's right. I'm sorry. Tim, like your son being outdoors. So Simon spent a lot of his time both alone and with friends out in the woods near Olin, and just explored, walked. That was his decompression mode. I think the other thing that for Simon was really strong, and this does show up on some of the questionnaires or filters that you can use, but he was absolutely adamant about not wanting to go to a school that prioritized sports. And so he was very glad that Olin did not prioritize sports, and to the extent that there are sports, that ultimate was the primary sport, which was his sport in high school.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. We will finish up with this question here. And it's more of a kind of summation and reflection question. So can you share some reflection on the process now that your child is through with this and actually in college? Maureen, we'll go ahead and we'll start with you.
I think for Simon, the process worked pretty well as in the way that we approached it, as I've already talked about. And the really great news is that Olin turned out to be everything that Simon hoped it would be and more. So there was no sense of disappointment for him. He is nearing the end of the first semester of his sophomore year. So he made it through the first year that Tim's son is working his way through now. He loves all of his classes. There are a few that he likes a little less than others, but for the most part, he it just seems like a very good fit, even in the midst of COVID, because you would think if there was anything that was going to test that, it would be remote learning. And I think that one of the upsides of having a learning disability is that to some extent you have to be insightful. You have to understand what works for you. You have to know how to go after what you want. And so as Simon came into this process, I think he had a pretty good sense of where he wanted to go and what he wanted to get out of it. And that drove the process, and it was highly successful, thankfully.
So appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I just, as I reflect on the overall process, thrilled with the outcome. I think most people end up being happy where they end up, but I know Grant at Olin, the classes are really more than he expected. The interdisciplinary nature really spoke to him.
That's awesome. Thank you both so much.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely.
So Dan, have you ever been to J.P. Licks in Wellesley?
No, but if I had, I would be taking a strong look at that peanut butter cup sundae.
That's fair.
What is your favorite flavor of choice?
Hard to say. I would have to say mint chocolate chip.
See, I just, like, I know I should, but I just can't get into mint chocolate chip. Just can't do it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that sounds like an area for improvement on your part. Anyway, this episode was not sponsored by J.P. Licks Ice Cream, although we wish that it was.
Yes, absolutely. But in all seriousness, thank you for tuning in to our Confessions of Olin Parents, and we hope you found it helpful.
See you next time.